You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 14th of October 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at radioalbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from russjournal.org. Back from the dead. Matt, how are you doing? I'm very pleased that you managed to pull through and it's great to have you back on the show today.
Oh, thank you. It was miserable. I wouldn't wish this on anybody. We've lost a couple of good people. Ed DeVries, it's been a huge loss, the Barnes Review. But I pulled through. I'm like 95% there. I'm live from Myrtle Beach today for my 50th birthday in a few days. I'm just very, very happy to be breathing.
Well, so are we. We're very, very happy to have you back here and to know that you're okay and that you have pulled through and you did your Orthodox Nationalist show yesterday and you provided the notes for today as well. So that's fantastic. And today we're going to be deciding what is best, Greta's windmills or Putin's gas. But we will start by looking at what America is doing with its currency at the moment. Washington itself is undermining the US dollar as the world's reserve currency by using it as an instrument for sanctions abroad whilst raising the national debt and inflation at home, said Russian President Vladimir Putin. It seems to me that the United States is making a very big mistake by using the dollar as a sanctions instrument, by preventing payment in dollars for the sanctioned products, Putin told CNBC's Hadley Gamble on Wednesday after a panel at the Russian Energy Week. Countries facing US sanctions like Russia have no other choice. We are simply forced to switch to settlements in other currencies, he added. Gamble had asked about the possibility of using cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin to sell oil and gas, something Putin welcomed in principle but said it was too early, citing crypto's volatility. Russia is happy to use dollars in energy trade, for now, and has no plans to ditch the US dollar entirely, Putin noted. But if the policy of the American authorities continues, then we will not have to do anything. The US will itself undermine confidence in the dollar. And I really don't understand why countries that are being sanctioned still use the dollar anyway. I mean, I'm quite surprised to hear that Putin is still actually selling his oil in dollars here. Is that what he is saying here, Matt? Can you enlighten us a bit more?
Well, it sounds like something that would have been said 10 years ago. This, you know, I can't believe this is still an issue. I mean, Russia and China have been trading in non-dollar currencies for a long time. They've been working on the SCO has been working on a energy-based currency. This is kind of old news. And I don't know where, even though this just came out the other day, and where the cryptocurrency, I mean, you have very strong currencies out there. Where did crypto come from? I'm not entirely sure. No, I'm no expert in that field. I can't say much about it. And the only reason that he welcomed it in principle, of course, is as part of the undermining of the dollar. Part of the strategy here, of course, is that Putin, the Russian government, owns a huge amount of dollars, not as many as the Chinese do, but it's a massive weapon against the U.S. What the regime is playing a game here that it can't win. And I think the only thing that's maintaining, I mean, the prices are through the roof as it is now. I think the only thing that's maintaining any kind of rationality is public ignorance. No one's really aware of the inflationary pressures. And of course, the BLS will lie about it. They'll change the goods in the basket of goods that they measure inflation by, as Paul Craig Roberts says. So the whole thing's going to be based on media manipulation as always. But you know, the strength of the currencies in the East is really not something that makes this much of an issue.
Well, prices do seem to be going up over on this side of the pond as well as over there in America. But the interesting thing here is what he was saying about cryptocurrency. Russian President Vladimir Putin isn't entirely buying into cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, calling them too unstable for oil and gas contracts, even as he said Moscow is working to limit its exposure to the weakening US dollar. Speaking to CNBC on Wednesday, after taking part in the 20th annual Russian Energy Forum in Moscow, Putin criticized the monetary policy in Washington as undermining the dollar as the world's reserve currency. Runaway inflation and debt at home, combined with using the dollar as a sanctions instrument abroad, are driving all countries away from the US currency, he said. Asked if Russia was open to using cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin to trade in oil and gas, however, Putin was skeptical. It is too early to talk about this because cryptocurrency, of course, can be a unit of accounting, but it is very unstable. It can be used to transfer funds from one place to another, yes, but to trade, let alone trade in energy resources, in my opinion, it is still too premature, he said. Cryptocurrency isn't backed by anything, Putin added, and is very volatile on the open market at this time, so it is too soon to talk about it as a means of trading oil, gas, or other raw materials. But everything develops. Everything has the right to exist. We will see how it will go further. Maybe someday it may also be a means of accumulation, he said. Well, the problem that I always seem to come across with cryptocurrency is when you're actually transferring the funds from one place to another. You end up having to pay these ludicrous fees for doing it. It really means that you can't use small amounts of it. You have to use large amounts of it. And even then, you just end up losing a lot of money when you actually transfer. I think that's more important than anything else. And he says here that it doesn't actually have any value, but they're talking about it's actually going to run out of hashes to find by 2040. So there is actually only a limited number of bitcoins that can actually be discovered online. And once that runs out, then it's going to keep going up in price. So it does actually have a value. It's just a notional value, the same as the dollar only has a notional value, I guess. What do you think about what he has to say here, Matt?
Well, again, I don't want to talk too much about crypto. It is way out of my wheelhouse. I don't fully understand the issue, but I certainly understand enough to realize that Putin's probably right here when it comes to any kind of even medium-term energy contracts. You know, this is a libertarian's dream, but it's also fairly unstable. What Putin's saying, of course, is that this is consistent with his, you know, multipolar idea, the Eurasian idea that's defined his presidency almost since day one, is that American liberalism is not the default ideology of international trade. And that includes military action, includes the dollar, it includes American products. All of that carries with it the liberal ideology. So any fighting of that is fighting liberalism. We've said this on this show a billion times, that that's really what this is all about. There's an ideological even in the U.S. Defense Department a white paper on fighting Russia and China. They even mention the undermining faith in liberalism as a major cause of concern. So this is all connected. And I think for, you know, those who control the Fed and printing of dollars and, of course, the media, the financial media is a disaster area. They you know, I don't think they follow any of this stuff. But again, as far as hedging against inflation, I don't know if crypto is the right way to go. But given the amount of gold that Russia and China have, inflation is about the last thing they have to worry about. It is, however, probably the first thing that Americans have to worry about, certainly over the short term.
Well, the dollar seems to keep going down and crypto seems to keep going up. I mean, it's gone up to about $50,000. I think it was about $4,000 or $5,000 at the start of the coronavirus, March 2020. So it's increased by 10,000% in that time. I mean, you'd be a Bitcoin millionaire if you had a nice stash of it back then or bought them back then in 2020. And I can't see it going down, you know, very far. It is worth putting your money in crypto, in Bitcoin, I would suggest. Another objection Putin put forth is that generating some cryptocurrencies requires a huge amount of energy, mainly produced by traditional methods, leading to carbon emissions widely blamed for climate change. This is the position Tesla and SpaceX head Elon Musk made back in June, explaining his decision to stop taking payments in Bitcoin. The impoverished Central American country of El Salvador has taken a different approach after it recently embraced Bitcoin as a potential replacement for the US dollar, which it has used as currency since 2001. Salvadoran President Nayib Bukele is harnessing the power of the country's 20-odd volcanoes to generate geothermal energy to power Bitcoin mining. Earlier this month, he announced that the operation has so far successfully generated 0.00599179 Bitcoin, or about $269. And I guess they're putting that there. They're just trying to put people off Bitcoin and sort of linking it to mining. The point in El Salvador using it is because of all these remittances. People from South America work in America, they work around the world, they want to send their money back home to El Salvador, and the world banks take a huge percentage of that when they send these remittances back. So the idea of using Bitcoin is that they can send the money back without a huge chunk being taken out of it by the banks. So I suggest they've probably got a better way of doing it than where all these miners' fees end up taking a certain percentage of it. And also the idea is that people in El Salvador can't really contact the bank, but they've all got smartphones. So they can hold their smartphone up, they can see how much Bitcoin they've got there, they can pay instantly with their smartphone to some of these vendors. So that's the general idea of why El Salvador are using this. But the idea that they would make a fortune from Bitcoin mining, I really don't think that they're going to do that. Siberia seems to be the place where they're doing all the Bitcoin mining because it's so cold there. So the heat that's generated when they're actually going after all these hashes, it keeps the machinery nice and cool and the electricity is cheap there. So I am surprised that all they've made is $269, and I'm guessing that's why they put this there. You got any thoughts on that matter about Elon Musk and his views on Bitcoin or El Salvador switching to it?
Not really the only thing I know. Well, I briefly followed the El Salvador disaster. The $269 kind of makes everyone laugh. I never thought about the remittances issue. That's a very good point. And as well as trying to free the country from Western banks, Venezuela attempted to create the Bank of the South under Chavez and under tremendous pressure, failed, at least in the short term. But the SCO may fix that as time, the BRICS may fix that as time goes on, when you have a patron like Brazil. So I think really the remittances issue and trying to free themselves from Western banks is what motivated, of all countries, El Salvador. But because it was such a disaster, because, and a lot of it had to do with computer technology, that everything just crashed over and over again. There's no faith in it. As of now, the infrastructure simply wasn't there. The mentality simply wasn't there. And that's why it's not being imitated elsewhere. But other than the remittances issue, I want to say that's probably what it comes down to, freeing themselves from Western banks. And I also think that Putin is well aware of this. And that's why he's certainly not going to reject it in principle or any other way.
So he's going to hedge his bets and wait a while to see where it goes. Well, let's have a look at what's happening with the oil. Russia and its OPEC partners are working hard to keep the oil market stable, but it is entirely possible that the price of crude could rise to $100 per barrel, President Vladimir Putin told a Moscow energy conference on Wednesday. Answering a question from a moderator at the annual Russian Energy Week held near Red Square, Putin said it was quite possible that a barrel could cost a triple-digit sum. It is currently rising in price, he explained. Russia and our OPEC partners are doing everything possible to make the oil market finally stabilize. We are not allowing price hikes. This is not in our interests. Higher prices encourage extra shale oil production in the US, meaning that Russia prefers a lower stable value. As things stand, the price of Brent crude currently sits at $82 to $83 per barrel. The president also called for movements in the energy market to be smooth and balanced, and explained that Russia is in full compliance with its agreed limits. However, he was also careful to point out that his country has vast energy resources. If you look globally, Russia's reserves are unlimited, he said, and we are increasing supplies to Europe even in today's difficult conditions for ourselves. And I find it really interesting that, you know, the price of oil is up to $82, $83 a barrel. And it wasn't that long ago that it was just a dollar a barrel, wasn't it? And they were saying, where are we going to store all of this? So how come it's $82, $83 a barrel now? And yet this time last year, it was almost going into the negative, Matt. We did a program on it, didn't we?
Yeah, I was going to say that. And the funny thing is, as far as retail gas in America is concerned, despite being in negative numbers, meaning that it costs more to store it than to sell it, it never went below, at least around the East Coast, never went below $2.50 a gallon, which is ridiculous. Should have plummeted. So there was gouging. You know, the those who own the major firms are not going to allow. There's definitely a ceiling. But remember, we talked about this many times. There is no such thing as an oil market. These prices are always manipulated. Now, Putin doesn't have to tell anybody about Russia's energy resources. That's kind of almost a ridiculous way to put it. What it comes down to is that Russia really doesn't have to trade with anyone. Russia is almost completely self-sufficient, one of the few countries in the world that can be totally self-sufficient. It's profitable and certainly in their interest to do so for now. But then again, as the article says, encouraging American firms that the shale oil, it's expensive to produce. They have to ship it overseas, trying to undo the gains of the Nord Stream and the Russian. You know, Russian can simply do it better and cheaper than the U.S. When Ukraine had sanctions on Russia, they were getting supplies from South Africa, you know, at a ridiculous cost by comparison. This is in no one's interest, and that they'll do it anyway. But stability is extremely important. But if things go through the roof, that will mean greater American aggression, because the energy firms do have a tremendous influence over foreign policy in the U.S. And, you know, with this administration, again, we can't even talk about Biden as a man. He's a media image and nothing else. He could be dead for all we know. But those controlling the power centers here are paying very close attention. And that's also going to drive inflation even higher in the U.S. And there's simply not the reserves, even among, you know, the massive indebtedness of the American population, to absorb this. Yet they're still buying their damn SUVs, though.
So it's in Russia's interest to keep the price low and stable. If it goes up, then it just means that America is producing it instead, because we're being told that Putin is driving the prices up, you see. And the big issue here in Britain at the moment is the gas and the gas price. And earlier in the day, Putin also addressed the situation with the country's gas industry, and in particular, the surge in price seen in Europe as a whole. According to the president, the cost has risen due to a fall in output from wind farms, causing electricity prices to shoot up, and this has had a knock-on effect on demand for gas. Putin's statement comes after some politicians in Europe accused Russia of limiting its supply of gas to the rest of the continent, with the suggestion that Moscow is seeking to bump up the price. On the contrary, Russia could well see record levels of exports of gas in 2021, Putin explained. Speaking as part of a keynote address at Russian Energy Week on Wednesday, Putin said that a fall in output from wind farms had meant electricity prices shot up, since wind power is being expected to produce an increasingly large share of Europe's energy generation, particularly in the west of the continent, and when there is no wind, there is no electricity, and apparently no backup plan. The rise in gas prices in Europe was the result of a shortage of electricity and not vice versa, the president insisted. And apparently this problem with the windmills is because energy policy has been decided by NGOs and school children like Greta, And instead of having somebody sensible there saying, well, what happens when the wind isn't blowing? They've had all these ideas, wonderful ideas about how everything's going to be powered by wind, and there just isn't enough there. And they've done away with all these other power plants that they could have used as a backup plan. So that's what the cause of this is. It's over-reliance on these so-called renewables. What do you make of what he has to say here, Matt?
And it makes me laugh that because of their failures, because of the shortages that come from last year, they blame Russia. And it's absolutely getting ridiculous where you had, you know, just a few years ago, sanctions on everything. Russia shouldn't be trading with Europe. Russia's using energy as a weapon. Now, according to the article, some politicians are saying that Russia now isn't trading enough with the West, deliberately withholding supplies. So they can't do anything right as far as these people are concerned. But this is what happens when you have a controlled media and a generally ignorant population, although I think in Central Europe they're far from ignorant in this regard. It just makes a heck of a lot more sense to go to the Russians, and therefore there's absolutely no financial interest in driving up the price. But when you could blame every failure on this nefarious, vaguely understood Russian regime, then it's really easy. You could do as you please. And you're absolutely right about the NGOs. The NGOs are backed by some of the most powerful banks and corporations. That's where they get their money. The NGOs are the mouthpiece for corporate America and corporate Western Europe. So they're not just, a bunch of kids. But and the Greta thing, of course, is humorous. But, there's influence there. And so whenever they fail, whenever prices go through the roof, they're going to be able to blame Russia now for not trading enough after for years trying to keep them from trading with Central and Western Europe.
Well, Russia has said that they can provide as much gas as we want. They've stepped up production with Gazprom. They've said there's no issue here. You tell us what you want and we will provide it. Putin went on to accuse Western leaders of trying to cover up their own mistakes following a series of claims that the situation is because Russia is withholding supplies. He added that proper analysis of the situation is often replaced by empty political slogans. According to the Russian president, an exceptionally long winter drained the continent's energy reserves and disrupted pricing. Now, the invisible hand of the market is at play, Putin said. Contrary to Russia seeking to worsen the crisis, Putin insisted that the country could well see record levels of exports in 2021 as Moscow works to meet the growing demand. That said, though, he claimed that the Kremlin doesn't relinquish the prospect of shortages and that the high price environment can have negative consequences for everyone, including producers. Some countries have seen gas prices rise by as much as 250% in recent days, with a knock-on effect being felt in the industry. Homeowners also face higher heating bills with winter fast approaching. Several energy companies in the UK, which have seen some of the sharpest increases, have entered into talks with the government to prevent them from potentially going bust. Last month, Putin's spokesman, Dmitry Peskov, said that the state energy firm Gazprom is already fulfilling all of its contracts, and no customers have been denied deliveries. According to him, nobody has any grounds to claim otherwise, and the company is making preparations to strike new deals and increase the volumes flowing westwards. And I did hear one of the issues with this was that they were telling Russia that they had to do spot trading, and they couldn't actually do this contract, these contract sales where they had these big contract sales going up to about 25 years to provide the gas. And America said, no, we can't have that. You've got to do these deals on the market. They've got to be done right here and now. And that's what's led to this price rise. Now there's a big price rise. All the deals have got to be done now. So America and Europe have lost out in this. Do you know anything about that, Matt?
You imagine what this is going to do to the inflation rate. You're talking about 250% just in a very short period of time. And the ripple effect that this is going to have, especially in Western Europe, where you have the debt being far higher than GDP, especially in places like Belgium. There simply aren't reserves for this kind of thing. But I think the ultimate nightmare of the West, and what they really can't resist at this point, is that Russia is going to be the savior of Central and Western Europe, at least, in terms of reasonably priced natural gas sales, because the West simply can't meet it. And again, shale production, fracking in America is so difficult, they're not going to be able to meet Russian prices. Sanctions are the only thing that's able to give any kind of a market, and it's really what sanctions are to a great extent, allowing America to give to have a market entry, but because Russia can do it much cheaper, and politicians now are facing a crisis, what are they going to do? And Putin, of course, is tongue-in-cheek when he talks about the invisible hand. He knows that there's no market at play here. He's done that many times before. And this is in Russia's interest so long as the prices don't go too high. And yeah, the long-term contracts are a bit of an issue, especially at 25 years is a very long time. But shortages are in no one's interest, and they'll blame Russia anyway. But that's the nightmare, that Russia's going to come in and solve the heating problem in this winter. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. And what that will mean for Western politics is really almost given the obsession. And I thought the Russian economy was going to collapse. They've been saying this every year for the last 10 years. And now here they are in this tremendous position of power that only we on this show have predicted. The West has failed miserably here, as you said, and places, you know, Gazprom is gonna solve the problem. They're gonna do it with the vaccines. Not that I'm endorsing vaccines by any means, but and they're gonna do it here too. And this is the ultimate nightmare, not just of governments, media, academics, but also private sector elites in the West.
Well, it also puts pressure on them to speed up with licensing. What is it, Nordfront 2? I forget the name of it. Nord Stream 2. That's all set up. It's all ready to go. They're just waiting to get it started. So it puts pressure on them for that as well. The European Union will be able to avoid any future gas crises if it works to improve relations with Moscow and stops treating Russia as an enemy, the country's permanent representative to the bloc has told the Financial Times. In an article published on Sunday, Vladimir Chitsov told the newspaper that Moscow had nothing to do with the recent fuel price hike in Europe. Last week, gas prices sat at a historic high of $1,900 per 1,000 cubic meters, before dropping sharply when Russian President Vladimir Putin hinted that state energy company Gazprom may increase supplies. Change adversary to partner and things get resolved easier, the Russian diplomat assured, before noting that both Brussels and Moscow want prices to remain low, especially as higher prices mean people will start to look for alternatives, such as switching to dirtier fuels like coal. Chitsov also blamed the EU's decision to force energy companies to supply gas to the freely traded spot market instead of the previously preferred long-term contracts, often as long as 25 years, which Brussels claims are uncompetitive. The diplomat's comments echo the words of the Kremlin, which has also complained about the move to stock market trading. And that's the bit that I was hearing about on the news today. A day later, on Monday, the EU High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, Josep Borrell, revealed that the EU's gas shortage means Moscow's help will likely be needed. "We still need Russian gas, and we will probably need more than we have contracted for," he told Spanish newspaper El País, accusing Moscow of trying to take advantage of Europe's gas problems to force the opening of controversial pipeline Nord Stream 2. Last week, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov maintained that Gazprom is fulfilling all of its contracts and is ready to provide even more gas if the EU recognizes the need for reciprocal steps. Well, Russia would be pretty daft not to take advantage of this to encourage the opening of the pipeline, really, so you can't really criticize them for that. And what are your final thoughts on all of this, Matt, anyway?
Well, we've done many shows on Nord Stream. It's one of the most significant issues in the economics of Europe. And the only thing controversial about it is going to cut out Western producers, despite some of them secretly being involved in the financing. And again, Russia can do it better. They had an infrastructure crisis a decade ago. That's been taken care of. Now you have the best in the world. And to have Borrell here, on the one hand, say we desperately need your help, and on the other, you're just taking advantage of a crisis, it shows the cognitive dissonance here, that they're going to pout and get all upset and accuse while desperately, you know, having their hand out for Russian assistance because their own economies are on the verge of collapse and debt and inflation, and it's going to get worse. And I wasn't expecting it to end this way, but this is how the East is going to save the West. And it isn't, you know, traditional heavy industry like oil and gas. And they're going to pout and yell and who knows, threaten. But at the same time, there's very little they can do, not just because of the not just because of the fuel, but because of the dollars and other Western currencies that the Russians and the Chinese hold. They hold all the cards right now. And how the West is going to deal with its waning influence, I said a million times on this show, it's like a cornered, wounded animal. But still, they need Russian help. So military stuff is probably way out of the question.
Well, I hope that does come true and the East does save the West. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.